Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studio, the exclusive home of Patriots Monday and Friday with Bill Belichick and Julian Edelman. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston. Radio.com sports station. NFL Sunday on EEI is presented by
Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Co-sponsored by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information.
Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros.
And Zooty, build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details.
This hour of NFL Sunday is brought to you by FindMassMoney.com.
More NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
Hour number two of NFL Sunday. Keith Fourier and Wiggy here on WEEI getting you set for Patriots and Broncos at 1 o'clock. Let's turn now to the Harbor One Hotline, where Tom E. Curran joins us. He of NBC Sports Boston. Tom, how are you, sir?
I'm tremendous. Rich, how are you? Hi,
very
Wiggy.
Good, very,
hi,
very
Christian.
Good. Tom?
Good morning.
Tom, a question morning. I started the show asking the guys here. Why, in your opinion, do you think the Patriots are playing this week when they did not play last week?
Well, with last week in the wake of the Stephon Gilmore positive after they had come back from Kansas City, there was still an incubation period going on, and there was still an awful lot of trepidation that, okay, the Patriots could be headed down the same road the Tennessee Titans were. They shared the plane, just as the Titans did, and then there were 25 outbreaks in Tennessee. As the week went along, even though Byron Cowart tested positive on Sunday, the Patriots had spent so many days out of the facility and separate, as opposed to what the Titans did. And there were so many days of negative tests strung together that I really believe I know that the Patriots and the league both started to feel a sense of not ease, but comfort with, okay, we've got this sequestered and quarantined in a way that we weren't able to do with Tennessee. The team has taken precautions that are above and beyond. Now with Ferentz, you know, that's a situation where you must know where it came from. It's not as if it's something that is completely, you know, off the wall, in that there's an incubation period that still exists. It is almost 2 weeks since he was getting a face full of cam, one supposes, on the Friday practice. But the incubation period, that's instructive, I think, to all of us, too. The incubation period, if he did get it from Cam Newton, can go up to 2 weeks. And in Stephon Gilmore's case, it can go to 4 days. So those are a couple of reasons. Also, there's no wiggle room. There was wiggle room last week when the Patriots said, we really don't want to play this football game, and made it very clear to the NFL that they could say, okay, all right, we're going to erase both your bye weeks and you'll play next week. But there's no wiggle room right now. And I also think that the Patriots players are less, not comfortable with it, but I think that there's a greater level of learning and understanding right now. Dr. Alan Sills talked about it this week. If we feel that we know where the positives are coming from, it's easier than if we don't. And I think that that was the situation that existed last week.
Yeah, and I agree with you, because I feel like this situation kind of had to happen for at least just specifically the Patriots players to kind of buy in on and all the suggestions coming from Bill or the league. That's why when it happened, I don't know, you tell me, like when we found out there was more tests, I didn't even worry about it. I knew that they have gone through the roughest patch and they would just figure it out.
Yeah, and when you see these guys come back, and there is obviously no reason to be lackadaisical about how deadly and serious the disease can be for some folks, but when you keep seeing your teammates come back and they didn't know that they had it, and they're asymptomatic throughout the process, and then they come back and they're able to practice, there's not a it's not a comfort level, but it's a greater or less a sense of unease about, oh my God, what would happen? So, I mean, it's just human nature, and to deny that, even though I understand how drastically difficult and tragic it's been across the country, I think that still you look at your own personal situation and say, we'll probably be okay individually, just as long as we keep it away from our families.
So, Tom, do you think moving forward, just not just with the Patriots, but the rest of the NFL, do you think the NFL is at a point where it's like, all right, we're starting to see because of some of these new protocols where even if you're in close contact with somebody, you got to isolate for a couple days, do you start to see the league going, you know what, unless it's a serious Tennessee outbreak, if it's two, three, four guys, we're going to kind of move forward and play these games because we don't have much wiggle room.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. And I think you're going to see more and more practice squad players coming up as they are going to today with the Patriots because they have players moving on to that high-risk close contact, even though they were not confirmed positives. So that's Derek Rivers and Shaq Mason. So you're going to see more and more teams, I think, having to dip into that practice squad that was expanded this year because of COVID, because there's going to be more attention paid to your high-risk close contact. I know you look great, you feel great, but that's the breaks. So we're going to move you off, and that's going to make other players, I believe, and the teams and coaches feel like they're on it. You know what? Let's play the game. They're on it. The league is at a point now where they are steadfast. They're away from plane rides. They're away from, you know, let's have a captain's practice after five guys get sick. We're on it.
Tom, what do you think the offensive line is going to look like today? It seems like they've been hit the hardest by all this stuff.
No doubt. I mean, with Andrews, Mason,
Ferentz.
And Isaiah Wynn and Ferentz. Yeah. Excuse me, Andrews, Mason, and Ferentz out. Wynn is a little diminished as well. So you're going to see I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Caleb Benenock has been summoned.
Yep.
Joe Tooney. I don't know who's going to play center. I mean, no Andrews, no Ferentz. So, I mean, this is the type of thing that enters into it when we look down our noses at an opponent like the Denver Broncos for a team that I still say are Patriots team that is rebuilding and rebooting. When you have a completely remade offensive line, God bless the work that's been done by Carmen Brasillo and Popovich, but it's hard to just go out against an NFL team with a bunch of guys who are on the practice squad or are in different positions and just roll it out there and say, we got this. You can't compete with us.
So with that in mind, when you're looking at the Denver Broncos defense, like who's the most dangerous guy that the Patriots would need to worry about?
Bradley Chubb. Yeah. 100%. So he's a fifth overall pick. 2 years ago, ACL last year. This year, he had kind of had a slow start, but now he's playing much better, and he wreaked havoc on the Jets. A lot of people wreak havoc on the Jets, so. But he was a pain in the ass for the Jets with 2.5 sacks, a couple forced fumbles and tackles for loss. So he's a problem, and the Patriots and Bill Belichick thought really highly of him when he was coming out. So that's going to be a player that is going to be matched up on what might be a diminished Isaiah Wynn at left tackle as he was on the injury report with a calf.
Don't you think that their only issue I know they have multiple issues, but when you're talking about the offensive line, isn't it really about who's going to play left guard? Because it seems like you were able to plug in Illuminor at right tackle, Owenu at right guard. You can probably put Karras at center.
Tooney at
center. And then you obviously got a little banged up Wynn, and your left guard is like, all right, that's the area that we have to try to figure out.
Yeah, but Mason's gone too. So right guard is a situation.
Well,
am I missing something?
Well, then when you played right guard when Mason was out, or when Tooney was moved to center, he played guard and actually played pretty well.
He was good.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe that's like something that they can look at and go, okay, we've had him play a full game before in a Wenyu. He played good at guard. Now the only issue that we have is rather than trying to figure out who plays center, we've had Tooney play there before. Now we just got to figure out who is going to fill that guard spot. I think that's probably what the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, but you're talking about 80% of the line is moved around.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the other 20%'s got a bad calf. So, I know that you're acknowledging that it's not ideal, mm-hmm. but at least you got a working plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it's Caleb Benenoff. God bless him. I mean, he could go down in Patriots lore, guys.
Yeah.
This could be Caleb Benenoff's day.
We're going to remember it. Remember October 18th, 2020.
Well, you know, but think about that, though. We look
the
how about
Benenoff game.
But think about how concerned we were when Andrews got hurt and Tooney had him. And then.
Oh, yeah, they were great.
And
they've
then when
you
came
year.
In, and I think it was the Kansas City game, and we're like, all right, not bad.
It's good.
So I think all I'm saying is when you look at, like, the line that you have, I know you've had to move around a lot of pieces, but, you know, four out of the five guys that are playing on that line have showed that they could, you know, played before.
Tom, it's been interesting.
Right.
I know Belichick made the comments about how difficult it is for this rookie class, like not just for the Patriots, but just around the league, how the offseason was so different, no preseason games and everything else. And on the one hand, I would want to agree with it. I'd be like, yeah, you know what? These guys, it is tough, and it could be like a red shirt year for most of them. But when you look around the league, you see a lot of rookies doing really well, including a couple of starting quarterbacks. You also look on the Patriots, and Kyle Duggar's been good, and Michael Onwenu has been really good.
Right.
So I understand. It seems like almost an excuse for, say, the tight ends or Jennings or Uche. But you have guys in your own locker room that have had just as many opportunities of practice who are doing well. So I don't know. I feel like those guys, we can already call them a bit of a letdown. Not busts. It's way too early for busts, but a huge letdown considering you traded up and you used third-round picks on tight ends, and they're useless.
Right.
One guy can't even play. And then the two linebackers at a position of need can't even make any kind of an impact.
Wasn't one rookie
How do you know they can't even play?
They haven't
How
played.
How do you know they can't?
I know they – well, because okay, Bill's telling played, me they can't play. Well, they haven't been out there is what I mean. And, no, I'm not calling them a bust. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, this guy's never going to do it. I'm just saying they – both very much at positions of need.
It's
if anything,
absolutely friggin' mystifying.
Okay,
if you have a traffic cone in Ryan Izzo is out there playing tight end, and you're starting from negative one with him.
Yes,
as far as his 2019 season was concerned. So to say, wow, he's playing much better. Okay, so what's he at a four? I mean, it's just not even good.
No,
so. The cartwheel's being turned, and the same thing happens with N'Keal Harry sometimes, too. Oh, wow, he had seven catches for 72 yards. All right, he's never been over 40 yards in a game other than that one game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got to have a higher expectation level, and maybe today will be the day that he does that. But, yeah, you're right. The expectation level should be high for two third-round pick tight ends in an offense that previously did a lot with tight ends. I mean, that's a route that you guys, I mean, that's why you guys are on the radio here.
See, Tom, I feel like this is the biggest concern to me was they usually bring in older guys with young guys, not young guys to mentor young guys. Like they bring in you know, mature guys with a lot of experience to mentor those guys, not a guy that has none, it's never really played and has no credibility, but whatever. I think Ryan Izzo's, for the most part, he's all right. He's not the biggest problem. But I do believe that by watching Asiasi that this feels like the week where they give him some opportunities. Like design plays. Let's throw it to Asiasi. Let's let him make a play. Let's get the ball in his hands. He's had days where he's had some decent amount of reps, just special teams or none at all. But I do feel like, man, you're into the sixth week. I mean, if you don't know it and you don't trust him by now and he's healthy, I don't know what's going on. So I feel like this is the week that I think that he's, I'll say, a small showcase. How about that?
Wow.
Great idea.
Small showcase.
I mean, he played 30 snaps. Eight snaps against Kansas City. Just put it in his hands on a 1st and 10 or a 2nd and 7 and
Easy.
See what happens.
He can't run a 5-yard out? I mean, come on.
Of course he can. And that's the thing. Oh. Just work it in. Easy for me to say. Josh McDaniels makes millions of dollars and has been doing it for a long time. There's a reason behind it. But just get the ball in the frigging guy's hands and see what's going on there, because it's a component of the offense to me that needs to appear. When Damier Bird and Julian Edelman are your prime offensive targets who are not running backs, and I still don't think N'Keal Harry has risen to that level. I think Bird has had a better year than him, and I think Edelman, even with the drops, has had a better year than him. Then you have to do something to augment that, because Julian's banged up and Damier Bird is, you know, a souped-up Philip Dorsett. You're going to need more guys at some point, and better to do it now when there's still leaves on the trees and try and find out at Thanksgiving, can we give it to him or not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you asked the reason. I think the reason is simple. I don't think they think he's, I don't want to say good enough, just ready. So I guess my question would be, Tom, is if you know the trade deadline is a couple weeks away, these guys are clearly not ready because of the opportunity that you have here as a on this team at tight end. You're going to have plenty of chances to get the ball. And if you're not getting those opportunities, that tells me that they don't think that you're ready. So trade deadline a couple weeks away. Don't you think they have to make a major splash on getting somebody to help bolster that passing game?
I do think that they need to do that. I think the wide receiver is the place where you have to probably concentrate more readily, because mm-hmm. you're winning games and competitive against good teams. You got two moral victories. That's a huge tiebreaker this year.
It should factor in.
That has to.
Yeah, I would assume it will. Yeah.
I mean, you gotta get Edelman's reps down, and you have to realize facts is facts. Damier Bird at 5'10", 188 pounds is not going to be someone you can concentrate on. Also, too, though, guys, you have to, I think, consider what are the Patriots offensively, and what are they going forward. You have the Mohamed Sanu situation last year that is fresh in their minds as to, we gave up some collateral, and what did we get? Nothing in return. Do we want to keep doing that, and what kind of a player do we want to get? Do we know if Cam Newton's going to be back here or not? It's interesting. I do want to – it's really relevant to nothing, but when you talk about mentoring at that position and Ryan Izzo, when you think back to Gronk and Hernandez, they had Algie Crumpler in 2010, who was full-on professional player, I think made a big difference for those guys. And by about this time in that 2010 season, this is when Gronkowski started to make an impact.
Well, I ain't doing nothing, so I can go mentor them.
I got two mentors right here on the show. Get them
and
down
I'll
there.
Take one of those paychecks.
Tom, got to mask up, Wiggy. That's
fine with me. I ain't getting no reps. All I got to do is be a mentor.
That's it. Tom, how do you see this one playing out today?
Well, without Fant, I think it changes things around. Like I said, I don't think the Patriots can afford to look down their nose at anybody at this point because, you know, defensively, they still, you know, they get shredded by Seattle. I thought Oakland shot itself in the foot. Kansas City gets out-schemed, but I still think that there is some artillery on that offense with Tim Patrick. I know. You're like, oh, look out, Tim Patrick.
No, he's been good, yeah.
Yes. Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy, and Philip Lindsay. It's a fast offense. So I don't think they're worth – I don't think it's a great idea to take it lightly, but Fant not being there kind of harpoons my idea of, oh, this might be a shootout. I don't know if it's going to be shootout level.
All righty,
so
Tommy.
I said 31-24.
So not covering. All right. You're taking the points.
I might change, but no Fant. They're Fantless. They're without
they
Fant.
They are Fantless. Yeah. A good point.
He's a good tight end.
There's no pants. There's nothing you said. They're pantsless. Yeah.
They're also without pants.
He's a good tight end, unlike the Patriots.
All right, Tom. Thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Tom.
You can check out Tom's stuff at NBC Sports Boston. And Patriots storylines are brought to you by Cars for Kids. Now would be a great time to clean out your garage and donate that old car to Cars for Kids. Now offering contact-free pickup. Call today 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or online at carsforkids.com. And I think
my boy Asiasi.
I owe Matt Lacoste an apology because this offseason we were looking ahead and saying, where are the Patriots better? Where are they worse? How can you talk yourself into 10, 11 wins or whatever? And I said, they are guaranteed to be better at tight end because Matt Lacoste set the bar so low, you'd be able to just simply step over it. And to this point, Matt Lacoste, greater than Asiasi or Keane.
Was he?
Yes.
No, no, but
Izzo,
showed up. You got to throw Izzo into that category.
The tight ends last year were better.
Through 4 weeks, I think maybe you might have more production this year.
So Dalton Keane doesn't play.
Nope, I know that.
Asiasi, I believe, is waiting for that first grab.
Yes.
Correct?
And Izzo's got, what, three?
Three or four catches? Last year, Matt Lacoste, for the season, had 13 catches for 131 yards and a touchdown.
All right.
Oh, yeah, they're not catching that.
It's mind-boggling because it's like, okay, so...
That was like a Gronk game, by the way.
Nothing against Ryan Izzo, and I hate, like, ragging on him, but you're telling me you can't break into the lineup, Asiasi?
Right.
Like, you can't, like, or is it just protocol for Bill, not till you earn it? Like, I feel like that has got to be, have something to do with it. We are not doing it, period. Well, but you need him. No, we don't. Yeah, you do.
Right.
No, I just feel like there was almost like, hey, this rite of passage you have to go through.
Yeah, but if he's not doing that, Christian, what's that tell you? That tells you that they don't have any confidence in him because we've seen rookies get on the field and play before. Damn, Jacoby Myers last year was an undrafted rookie who got, you know,
he got some
reps.
So they need him.
Right, but they must think he can't do it. He's not ready because
I can't imagine, like, that's embarrassing.
But that's because if he was ready, don't you think he would be getting? He has nobody to compete against. Like I said,
know.
Jacoby Myers.
We get it.
Right.
Yeah.
So when they say, well, what's the problem? What's the issue? The problem is that Asiasi just is not ready to play in the sense of they don't have the confidence in him that he can get the job done consistently.
So, last year, Matt Lacoste had 13 catches, Ryan Izzo had 6, and Ben Watson had 17. So that is 36 catches.
No touchdowns, too, Ben Watson.
No, he didn't. And Izzo had one, Lacoste had one. So
the production's going to be better last year than it is this year.
36 catches total for a whole season at tight end and 2 total touchdowns.
Yeah, and you have 3 catches this year with Izzo.
So we just think that. So wait. So are you saying right? So if you are you going to lean towards Asiasi's not any good?
I don't know. I'm not going to say not any good.
I'm just going to say not ready to play and contribute on a consistent basis in their mind. They'll put him in, but I don't think they think he's a great blocker, and they really don't. You know. Christian, you understand, right? If you're not a good blocker, and they want you just cutting off the backside, or they can put linemen in, they'll live with that if you're giving them something in the passing game. But if you're not giving them anything in the passing game, then where are they utilizing you?
It's just funny. I had some really high-ranking, good scouting tight end guys in the NFL have a real high grade. Guys that I know and respect and agree with for the most part, as far as their analysis. Had a huge, really high grade on him, like top 3.
I had him at 80 catches.
Yeah, I know, but to me, I can't imagine Josh looks at all his skill position players and says, "Yeah, I'm not ready to give him a shot yet." Like, I mean, or why wouldn't he say, "Yeah, how do I find a role for this guy? How do I get him off the punt team? Can I get him off punt return?" Like, he's not doing it. I mean, how do I? Why can't I just put five plays.
Because he doesn't have confidence. That tells me that's just scary to me. But that tells me that they don't think that in the passing game, this guy can contribute in any way. They would rather keep Ryan Izzo out there and let him run the, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 routes a game that he has to run. Because if they had that confidence in Asiasi, he would be getting, though. Even if they said, when he's in the game, they're throwing the football.
I also think that there's something to do. What I've noticed with Ryan is that he doesn't mess up. He doesn't jump off sides. He's always, like, there's a confidence or a comfort, I would say, you know, with a team that isn't great, you can't afford to put yourself in bad situations. And I think Ryan Izzo, even though he's not impactful, he just doesn't mess up. Like, he doesn't do anything stupid. You know, he doesn't do anything, you know, impactful
well,
either.
Yeah.
But he just, he's just there. I can easily say, listen,
he's a pretty bad blocker, though, isn't he?
Right. It's not, he's a road
great. He's not great. Yeah.
So, what's that tell you about Asiasi? The guy that you're behind is not like this dominant road grader run blocker. He doesn't really give you anything in the passing game. And you can't out, and he's
can't
only
do it, right.
And he's only been in the league what a couple of years, and well, you can't outplay him.
So far, this is sort of another win, I would say, for all the draft nerds like the McShays and Kuypers, because this year they said it was a bad tight end draft, and it has been. And the Patriots decided to take two in the third round. They also said this was the best wide receiver draft ever. Patriots didn't take one, and there's a bunch of receivers doing well. So they took their receiver a year ago in a not great receiver draft, or at least they seemed to maybe took the wrong guy.
Right.
They didn't take a tight end that year where there was apparently a bunch of good tight ends,
right,
including the guy that the Patriots could have been playing today, Noah Fant. Now he's hurt. But the best tight end from this year's rookie class so far has been Harrison Bryant, who only has 7 catches for 59 yards and a touchdown. So it's not like it's not one of these years where, like, oh my god, they picked the wrong tight end. No, there just weren't any good ones, but you put yourself in a situation where you had to draft two of them.
Or maybe the guy, I don't know, what team is Harrison Bryant for? I know that's the kid from
Browns.
FIU.
FIU. So, well, he's
FAU.
At the FAU. So he's playing for the Browns. He's behind Austin Hooper there. Maybe him, if he's here, he might be more productive, and he gives you something.
True.
See, that's the thing that I look at. When you
but he plays every week. Like, that's another thing that separates him from even like a Dalton Keene. Like,
right.
He's out there.
Right, and the thing that I look at is when you look at this tight end group for this team here, if you're a tight end, you got to be licking your chops and going, wait a second, I got to compete against Ryan Izzo? And if you are, whether you're an undrafted rookie or a third-round draft pick, it's no longer like, oh, I'm going to be sitting behind Rob Gronkowski.
Right.
It's wide open. They're like, whoever wants it can. Hey, listen, if you guys want to come off the street, the position is wide open.
Yeah, you would think. You could join us at 617-779-7937. We'll have the full list of inactives about 1 hour from now. Obviously, we know James Ferentz will not be playing. We'll take a look at what the offensive line looks like and who will be active 1 hour from now. Patriots and Broncos coming up at 1 o'clock. This is NFL Sunday, and it's brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
OMF, weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Patriots placed 3 more players on the reserve COVID-19 list: running back Sony Michel, offensive lineman Shaq Mason, and defensive end Derek Rivers. This comes one day after the team placed offensive lineman James Ferentz on the same list. It'll be Patriots and Broncos today from Gillette Stadium at 1 o'clock. Pats come in at 2-2, Denver 1-3. They will be without running back Melvin Gordon due to an illness, not COVID-related. Again, full list of inactives just over an hour from now. The Bruins have signed Matt Grizzlick to a 4-year deal worth $14.75 million. College football, BC blown out by Virginia Tech yesterday 40-14. And in baseball, the Tampa Bay Rays beat the Houston Astros in Game 7. So the Rays going back to the World Series for the first time since 2008. Meanwhile, in the NLCS, that is going 7 after the Dodgers beat the Braves in Game 6. I'm Rich Keefe. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
We don't make excuses about anything. That's not what we do. We don't make excuses. Period.
Yep, in my white tee. Yeah, call up Mike Williams for the hype, please.
I love it. Love it a lot.
That's the Julian Edelman hype video.
Okay.
He tweeted that out today with the caption, Rule 76, no excuses, play like a champion.
Rule 76.
LFG. And that's his hype video, so
what
he's ready to go.
What rule book's that from, though?
That is from the Wedding Crashers rule book.
All right.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay. Go back to Wedding Crashers. One of the great rom-coms of our time.
Oh, yes. Do love Wedding Crashers.
Yeah. You know how I feel about the whole stupid hype video.
You don't like it? Wiggy likes it.
I love it.
So
I think
lame.
They need to be good. This one was
so
good.
Lame.
Yeah, this one's good. I like the music.
Saw some good cam stuff. You know, Fourier doesn't get him fired up.
No,
it works for some guys.
No.
But how do you guys feel about Julian Edelman through four games? Once again, atop the league in drops. What does he have left in the tank? Is there a level of concern?
Well,
for him?
I don't know if you heard our award-winning show that we have, Ineligible Speakers.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
You know, who would miss
great.
That?
Episode 5.
Episode 5. Where
it's a long run for Facebook Live.
They drop it on a Saturday too, huh?
Yeah. Well, listen, I don't have control. I'm low on the ladder.
Okay.
It was an actual Friday, John Anderson. But okay.
Right.
Yeah. So
the bigger black hole. But.
So.
So Ghost Whisperers on
John, hey, be careful. They're going to give you that job, so I would not say a damn word.
Yeah, you're next.
So one of the questions was most disappointed through the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
And my player was Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
That was hard for him to say, too.
Yeah, it was very hard. But I think when you look at Edelman, like the drops, he's always been a guy that has had drops. I've always kind of known that about
him. Didn't Greg Hill this week say that he doesn't have to worry about getting the coronavirus because he can't catch it?
Yeah, that was his dad joke. He's been dropping a lot of dad jokes all week.
It's nonstop.
So when I look at Edelman, right, besides the Seattle game, which he had a career day,
I
don't know how much he's banged up. He just doesn't maybe look right at times.
I mean, I think if you want to say he's, you know, playing through an injury, I think you just have to say that that's going to be the rest of his career. Like, he's always going to be kind of playing through something.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just, but he doesn't look the same. It's one thing to be playing, and Christian could probably talk about it. It's one thing to play through an injury and you still kind of look the same versus you don't look the same.
Yeah.
And I just feel like you can't have games where you have two catches for 23 yards.
And one of your drops led directly to a pick six.
Yeah.
You know, another one of your drops turned into a catch for Gunner, but it was like that. I mean, it was just sort of lucky that he was there.
Right, but he doesn't have the greatest hands anyways. He's just one of those guys.
No,
but yeah, but he, you know, my thing with him is, and I was surprised that Wiggy actually said that. I know, because he's a Patriots player, so it must have been really hard for him to actually admit that. But I just feel like, you know, this is kind of who he is now. He doesn't play every single down. His reps have been diminished. He's more of a situational, gotta-have-it type guy, third down, red zone, situational type guy. As they try to, I guess, develop younger players and try to figure out exactly who they are on offense. I don't really know who they are on offense because Cam's only played in three games and each one was different than the other one. Not that they don't do that a lot, but I just don't know what they're good at. Well, I know they can run the ball. And they run it either through their traditional backs or with Cam. But other than that, I don't really know who's dependable. I don't know who's reliable. I don't know. It's not him anymore.
It makes their need at wide receiver even greater, because when you just look at the depth chart, people from the outside will be like, well, you got Edelman. It's like, yeah, but you have this version of Edelman.
Right.
And it's still better than the other guys you have.
Right.
But this isn't him from a few years ago where he's, you know, the best slot receiver in the league. There's going to be drops. To Fournier's point, you're not even playing him as many snaps as you normally do. And so, yeah, Cam needs more help.
And you always need, with Edelman, Edelman's a tremendous player, but show me one slot receiver that was the top dog on his team. You always need that other guy, whether it's a legit tight end and Rob Gronkowski, or whether it's that outside receiver.
Doesn't Larry Fitz play a lot of slot?
No, he's not a slot guy. He didn't start off as a slot guy. Right. You think about that. Larry Fitzgerald started
where he lines up.
But think about even what Wes Welker, who we say is probably the best slot guy in Patriots history. You weren't able to, if you don't have Moss on the outside,
you
can't just build a team around that. We've seen that with Jarvis Landry. You still need that other guy.
Yeah, true. Let's go to the phones. We have Bobby in Chelsea. He joins us next year on NFL Sunday on Edelman. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, how you doing, Keith? It's Bobby from Cambridge, but that's okay.
Oh, Cambridge. Sorry. So, all right, what's going on?
Hey, real quickly. I don't know if this is different or whatever, but, you know, obviously, big Edelman fan like everybody else, you know. But if you watched him last year, right, I don't see where the surprise is that maybe that, you know, this what you expected. The last four games of the year last year, he caught between 10 and 12 passes. He only had one touchdown that he ran it for. No way he should have been on the field. I mean, but they needed him as a decoy, in my opinion, on what was going on, just to have him out there. But you compare him to Gronk, I'm stating the obvious. The man has taken unbelievable amount of hits. And if you're watching him this year, just again from an observation from me, watch how many times, even after a catch, he doesn't go for that extra yard and get banged up. He kind of hits the turf. And I don't blame him because, I mean, I have the total respect for him. Mm-hmm. But that's just my opinion about him. I mean, I don't even know if he really should. He's got to be banged up seriously. But what the end of last year told it all for me. He never should have been on the field, even at the end of last year. And watch him. He hits the ground an awful lot this year when he does catch the ball. Just an opinion, guys.
All right, Bobby. Yeah. Thanks for the call.
But that's fine. You know, catch it and get down. I'm not a big fan on, like, all right, if there's a time and place to run guys over, but then it's also about living to see the next down.
But
think about if you get a guy like Michael Thomas, how much pressure he takes off of Julian Edelman.
No, but I think, too, with Edelman, who's never had the best hands in the world, and, you know, he's had a couple of, like, big fumbles in his career and things like that. But before, your room for error wasn't as thin as it is now.
Right, because you like had this Gronk, team, you had other guys you could lean on.
Yeah, you had Brady in that offense for so many years, and he was a big part of it, don't get me wrong. But if you had a bad drop, it's like, all right, well, guess what? You'll get it on third down. Or, like, you know, it didn't seem to matter as much. Whereas this year, I think each possession is going to matter a little bit more, even against a team like Denver.
Right.
Then in other years, it's like, Edelman dropped it. Who cares? Move on to the next play. But they're going to come back to haunt you, I think, a little bit more this year.
Well, each possession means that the Patriots get to keep the ball for another drive, right? And another set of downs. And so that's why it's critical, because you want to make sure you don't have that high-flying firepower. So you want to be able to sustain long drives, but the thing that helps you with that is a guy like Cam Newton, who could drop back on third and five and six and pick up a first down with his legs.
Yeah. Yeah, my biggest issue with them is they don't have receivers that can separate. They just don't. Like, Damir Bird, he's a play-action type guy receiver. N'Keal Harry, every single throw I feel like is contested in some degree. Bird does a lot of those deep comebacks where he's really selling the go and he comes back late, and Cam does a good job with the timing. And Edelman, I feel like they kind of figured out how to guard him. And most younger DBs or, you know, nickelbacks kind of probably want to, you know, see how they stand up against them. A slower, banged-up Edelman. I would just add a less accurate quarterback.
Right.
I mean, because I think that does have something to do with it. Hell, you can run the best route in the world if your quarterback stinks or he throws it late and he just gives the defensive back an opportunity to catch up after you already won. That's what's really irritating.
Right.
So I think there's just a lot of that goes into it. I haven't really seen him – I really want to see him kind of just really dissect a defense on third down.
But he don't have the guys. See, that's the problem. Look at every team.
Well, both.
But look at every team that you think is going to be a contender, right? Every team that has a contender has two guys in the passing game. You don't have that. You have one guy in Julian Edelman, but every team has two guys, and generally they have that one guy who's, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else that you have to double. Now, if your team's doubling Edelman, who do you got confidence?
Where do you go?
Right, who do you got confidence that can win? But if you get a guy like Michael Thomas, or we talked about Julio Jones, now you can't double Edelman, and things get a little bit easier for him. He doesn't have to take much of a beating, and you still now have a weapon that can make big plays at any point in time on the field.
All right, it's game time. We're going to have Wiggy v. Fourier.
Oh, again. We got another game?
Another game coming up next.
I think I won last game. I can't remember what we played.
I think maybe you did.
Wasn't it coaches?
It was, it was it. Who was it?
It was Vegas coaches.
Oh, yeah, Raiders coaches. Raiders coaches. All right, so we got something else up our sleeve coming up next year. An NFL Sunday brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Presented by Kaplansky Insurance, Northeast Electrical, and Zudy.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEI.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, this is NFL Sunday. Keith Fourier and Wiggy. Week 6 in the NFL, Game 5 for the Patriots as they take on the Broncos at 1 o'clock. But time now for a game. Oh. It is Wiggy v. Fourier. It is one of the heated rivalries in sports radio today. Yeah,
it's like the Jordan-LeBron GOAT conversation.
It is a very similar debate that we are having, but this time we'll actually settle it as you guys have been going head-to-head in NFL trivia for the last couple of years, and today is no different, as the Patriots' opponent is the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
And, of course, they had a legendary Hall of Fame Super Bowl-winning quarterback in John Elway, who's now in charge of things there. He last started a game in 1998.
Okay.
Since then, in the 20-ish years, since then, they have had a ton of starting quarterbacks.
Okay.
I believe it's 21. Can you name them? So, Wiggy, you won the last game with the Raiders coach. So, would you like to go first or second?
I want to go first.
Okay. Who do you have?
Peyton Manning.
Oh, Jesus.
Take the easiest one off the board.
All right, Fourier. Denver Broncos starting quarterback since 1999.
Oh, Joe Flacco.
That's sort of an obscure one, but okay, yes.
Wiggy. Brian Greasy.
A little false start there, but he ended up following through.
Jake the Snake.
Yeah.
Oh. He's undefeated against Brady, by the way, Jake Plummer.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow.
Ooh. There you go.
Kyle Orton. Kyle Orton.
Nice.
Let's see. Drew Luck.
We'll give you that.
Who?
We'll give it to him.
Drew Luck.
Oh, Drew Luck. It's a Wiggy version of Drew Luck. That's fine. That counts.
Drew Luck retired.
Let's see.
Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler.
He got it. Jay Cutler. Just right at the horn there. Jay Cutler.
Jesus. What's his name? I'm drawing a blank on his first name. No, Oswald. What the hell was Oswald's first name? The kid who went to Houston. I might be.
No credit unless he says unless the name right.
You got to get first. You got to be in the ballpark first and last.
What the hell's his name? You said since John Elway.
Since Elway, John starters Elway. For the Broncos.
All right. Tommy Maddox.
No. Touchdown. Ooh. Tommy Maddox.
I actually got a bunch now that I think about it. All right, go ahead. I'm going to try and list them off some more because I remember when John Elway first left, they did a whole like cover story on SI.
He was Pittsburgh.
About Bubby Brister. Bubby Brister is one of them. He was a starter.
Bubby Brister actually started games in 98 along with Elway. So, no, he did not start after.
Oh, okay,
not after. No, he started games that year. I don't know what Elway was.
So that doesn't count.
That does not count.
So then what?
Well, then I still have more.
How do you have
I played
more?
The right sound.
You just did? Got it wrong.
Wait, that counts.
What is this, a tie, John? How do
yeah,
we rule
that's
this?
What it sounds like. Listen, I said
I think Fourier is just changing the rules, and he just wants to rattle
right,
them
right.
off.
Right, right. He's like, oh, let me just rattle off a bunch
then
of
he rattles off
one that's not on the game.
Right. The first wait, name that you said
sounds
was
like a tie.
Sounds like a tie.
Sounds like a tie to me.
Sounds like
I'm
a tie.
I'm fine with that.
Fourier, just like
but, you know, we forgot, like, the main guy. They drafted Paxton Lynch.
I couldn't get what
Lynch.
The hell was his name,
I can't believe we didn't even mention Paxton Lynch.
They also, this year, Brett Rippon started primetime
yeah.
game.
Yeah, what the hell was his
Jeff
name?
Jeff Driskel started this
Osweiler?
Year.
Osweiler? Was that his
Brock
name?
Osweiler.
Brock Osweiler.
Yes. Brock
I couldn't get
Osweiler.
His first name.
The Brocket Ship.
Because yes. after Peyton Manning, mm-hmm. John Elway hasn't been able to find a quarterback. He took Brock Osweiler. Mm-hmm. He took Paxton Lynch. He took Trevor Siemian. He had Case Keenum start a whole year. Mm. 2018, Case Keenum started all 16 games. Joe Flacco, which Fourier mentioned, with Drew Lock, and then Brandon Allen started games in 2019. Prior to the Tebow Kyle Orton era, you had a Chris Sims game.
Okay.
You had two Steve Berline, actually two different seasons Steve Berline started games. Mm-hmm. Danny Cannell, Jarius
oh my God.
Jackson.
Get out.
Wow.
Gus Frerotte. And Chris Miller, I think that's the entire list of all the guys. It's like 21 quarterbacks.
Okay, you want to go double or nothing, Wiggy?
Well, all right, double or nothing. That's
double
the time
or nothing
to break
you,
it. Is okay. it really double or nothing? Or it's to decide who wins.
Yeah, decide who wins.
yeah, yeah. Double
either
nothing.
Way. Yeah.
We're already at the nothing.
Who, how about it? We're going.
Who was the quarterback?
It's his tiebreaker. It's a tiebreaker, but he gets to ask
he's
the
making
question.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I like
that.
He
already knows the answer. Yeah.
I do. Who was the quarterback before John Elway?
Before John Elway.
Who was Denver's quarterback?
Before John Elway
before
got
John
there?
Elway, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Denver Broncos quarterback before Elway.
Tick, 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 tick.
This is yeah. This is going back. I'm sure there are Broncos fans
you,
that right, know the answer. Right, to this.
Can you
it's
give
kind
me,
of a trick
a
question?
Can you
it's
give
kind
me?
I'll give you a,
can
a couple
give me
guys.
A year. Can
there's
you,
a few guys.
Can yeah. you give me the kind years?
Of, okay, it's 1982, but I will say this. The main guy I'm thinking of also played for the Chiefs, and in a famous game actually broke his pinky finger, mm-hmm. and it came back at after halftime and played with it.
So 1982, this is
yeah.
– okay. I'm going to go with Joe Theismann.
No, his first name is Steve.
Steve
Perry.
Steve Berline.
Perry.
Steve Grogan.
Yeah. No, I have it as Steve DeBerg. That's the
Steve
guy I remember.
Steve DeBerg.
Yeah.
Steve
that's the guy I've had.
DeBerg. Okay. Yes. And then he was teammates with Elway, too, for a year, it looks like.
Right. Yeah.
He started in 83. Elway started 10 games. Steve DeBerg started 5, and Gary Kubiak started 1.
All right.
Back in 83.
Well, it's funny when you look at that. It's like, all right, John Elway was one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. And even his first 2 years, there were some.
Yeah.
Up and down, starting, not starting, playing, not playing. What's he going to be? You know, and then he just cruised through it. You
well,
know,
he
right?
really he didn't cruise. He was able to cruise, but he really wasn't able to win until he got TD.
He needed Georgia a handball.
I'd like to start out this press conference with a thank you to John Elway.
Yeah, his rookie year, 7 touchdowns, 14 picks.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of ugly. He actually, like, his numbers don't really do him justice.
No.
Right? Like, the people that saw him play are the ones that say he's the greatest ever. Because if you look at his numbers,
yeah, his
they're
numbers
pretty
are
garbage.
Not great. And he didn't win Super Bowls until he got Terrell Davis.
Right.
And by that time, it was more about the running game than it really was about John Elway. He's not like, when you think about him as a quarterback, he's not a Dan Marino, oh, he comes to your mind, he threw the ball all over
the
yard.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And again, generations, he's great. But because I know quarterback's job is so much easier now. They're protected now. Mm-hmm. The way the offenses are geared, you're going to have higher completion percentages and things
right.
like that. But just like the metric that just compiles a bunch of stats, QB rating. I know it's John's favorite. His QB rating for his career is under 80.
Yeah, he wasn't.
If you had an under 80 season now, you'd be out of the league.
But John Elway was never known as a, during that era, because you got to understand, during that era, it was about the pocket passer.
Yeah.
And he was never in that category. He wasn't in the category where like Marino and Warren Moon.
Right.
And those type of guys that could sling the ball all over the yard. Jim Kelly up with Buffalo.
Oh yeah, the K-Gun offense.
Yeah, so he was more of the what we're starting to see now in the quarterback that was athletic and could move and could get out of the pocket and still could throw the ball. He was more of the a completely low budget version of who? Patrick Mahomes.
John Elway?
What?
Yes.
Oh my God, what? You're insane. I don't you gotta go back to school.
Yeah,
John Elway is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play two and one of the greatest behind quarterbacks.
But he wasn't known as a pocket passer slinging the ball all over the yard.
John Elway?
Yeah, John Elway.
How you what?
John Elway's stats are horrible.
Yeah, he wasn't.
They just are.
See, that's what I mean. He was more of like
he threw double-digit interceptions every single year of his career.
He was a gunslinger.
Then throw more touchdowns.
He was a poor man's version of what we see in Patrick Mahomes. He was a good can get out of.
I don't know about that.
Yes, he was.
I would never compare it.
Mahomes doesn't throw picks though.
No. I'm not talking about the stats. Don't look at the stats.
Yeah, I know. I am. I'll be honest. I am looking at the stats.
No, the first 10 years
of his career,
but see,
I don't remember.
But what I'm trying to say is,
were you even born?
I was born. No, he was a when he was a rookie. I
what
was
year
not
were
alive.
You born?
84.
But no, Rich.
So
Rich,
I remember. And I remember the two Super Bowls where he would just turn the ball in hands.
Right,
to Terrell
but
Davis.
I'm not talking about stats. I'm talking about just his skill set. He wasn't his skill set wasn't a just pocket passer, throw it all over the yard. His skill set was more aligned with a Patrick Mahomes where he had ability to get out of the pocket and make plays that way. Not stats. I'm not comparing his stats. I'm comparing his skill set because in that era, the skill set of the quarterback was the Dan Marino, the Warren Moon, the Jim Kelly, the pocket passes that could just throw the ball all over the yard. Elway can't throw it as Mahomes was.
I remember this because I was in Colorado. I first got there in 1990, and I remember the affection and hysteria for John Elway was exactly the same as it was for Brady. Like exactly, like people worshipped him. He worshipped him. He had all these car dealerships, you know, all over the place, and you know, guys had like cardboard cutouts. It was insane. And then I remember they tried to get rid of him. They drafted Tommy Maddox. And I remember it's so similar.
And he was all pissed.
Yeah, he was pissed. He was angry. And Tommy Maddox couldn't even drink. He wasn't even 21 years old. And I remember like he'd never panned out. John Elway, just like Brady, kind of took it the same way. It always kind of cracks me up because when people – you know, think about Brady. There's so many other quarterbacks were in the same damn position that he was in, but just nobody really remembers it. And then a lot of the great quarterbacks, they just fight through it and they prove the organization wrong. I don't know. This was a game that went down a bunch of different rabbit holes.
It really did.
I think you should think about this next time.
Now's the time. I'm okay with it because I also. Again, I wasn't alive when it happened, but I was alive when Eli Manning was the number one pick in the draft and then pouted, and then his daddy got him traded.
Yes.
And I hated that. And I hated him from the moment he entered
Elway
the league.
Did that.
Exactly. So I hate Elway, too, just the same. Like, that is pathetic. He goes, I'm going to go play baseball.
People,
it's like, John, for God's sake.
A lot of people overvalue Elway because he went to those – he won the two Super Bowls late in his career – but then he went to, I can't remember the exact number, but it was a handful of AFC championship games or even a Super Bowl early in his career.
He got smoked in a couple Super Bowls in the late 80s.
Right. So they were always good. And so I think and he was different than the quarterbacks that were in the league at that time. That's why I said when he was playing, he was a mobile, athletic Patrick Mahomes type of quarterback.
He lost three Super Bowls. He lost to the Giants. Lost to the Redskins and the Niners, and none of them were close.
Right, and that was the thing. So he got credit for getting teams there, but it wasn't because he was throwing the ball for 400 yards.
No, definitely not.
Right, and so and then I think so. When people say John Elway's the greatest one of the top five greatest quarterbacks of all time, I'm kind of like, well, statistically, his numbers are not that great.
No. Did you guys see the 30 for 30 on the 83 draft?
Yes.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Like the quarterbacks that went in that draft, and even just some of the players that went in that draft, all the Hall of Famers.
Right.
Like that was pretty good. But he just came across as such a unlikable boob.
Right.
When he's just like, he didn't want to be the first pick in the draft. I don't want to go to the Baltimore Colts.
So I don't, you know, and that's why I think a lot of people overvalue John Elway and put him into that. I don't even think he's in top 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Ooh, see, I think a lot of people have him up there.
Right, because they overvalue him.
All right, that's fair.
Why you got him up there?
I think it'd be close, though.
But
I don't
why?
Think Wiggins is too far off. I don't know if he'd...
I mean,
he went to
five Super Bowls.
Yeah.
He only won one.
And he won two of them.
He's two and three.
Do it right now. Give me your top. Give me 10 right now. Don't
eliminate it. Give me top 10. Okay.
This started out as, can you name how many Broncos quarterbacks? Now we have the top 10 all-time quarterbacks.
Okay.
No particular order. It doesn't even matter.
Brady.
Yeah.
Manning, Montana, Marino. How many is that?
Sure.
Four?
That's four.
That's a nice Mount Rushmore you have.
That's four.
That's four.
Come on. Okay. Let me try.
Five.
Let me see. All
you
time
stopped at four.
I'd say Brett Favre.
Okay, good.
Steve Young.
Six.
Okay.
Young.
What about, would you go with Aaron Rodgers? If you go with any of the guys that are playing now, I think Breeze is overrated. But Breeze, Rodgers, either.
Did
of those
I say
guys?
Marino? I don't think
you
I said.
Yes, you did.
You did.
Did I say
I'm
Marino?
Writing these down.
Okay,
three.
I would say
you have six guys right now.
I would say Aaron Rodgers,
seven.
Yeah. Drew Breeze,
eight.
Oh wow! See, now I think you're just trying to get him out.
Yeah,
no,
now
no,
you're
no,
forcing
I feel
him
like
in there.
You are. A little
no, no,
bit.
No. But I'm looking.
What about
at,
Johnny Unitas?
What about Jim Kelly?
No,
ooh,
slinging Sammy Paw.
John Robertson.
Sonny Jurgensen.
What about, Fran Tarkington?
Fran, nice player. Mm-hmm. You play with Culpepper. What about him?
No.
No.
Because you got to be, when I'm thinking of top 10, I'm thinking a guy who won a championship.
All right.
And statistically is, one of the best ever.
All right.
Elway's not in that top 10.
Tony Romo.
No.
You go pre-Super Bowl guys?
Russell Wilson.
Sid Luckman.
He's going to have to be in there.
Russell Wilson will be in there.
I think
Russell Wilson
10.
Will. Mahomes probably will, but neither one of them are right now. You can't put him right now.
No.
You can't put either of those guys.
I got a name.
What about Aikman?
There you go.
Won all those Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But he's another guy. Like, stats don't do him justice.
Yes, stats
like,
don't
he
do
was
him.
Just on a really good team. And he was obviously, you got to say he's a winner. Kurt Warner.
Ooh.
Kurt Warner.
I don't know. That could
Warren
be.
Moon.
Warren Moon. Doesn't listen.
Breeze guy.
So there's so there are guys.
I know, but I feel like you're kind of trying. If you like Breeze over Elway, I feel like it's I don't know.
But Breeze,
I feel like we've never even talked
about
why
would,
him.
Why would you say? Why would you put give Breeze the credit that he deserves? When you think about it, he's won a Super Bowl.
He missed the playoffs too many years for me, and he's just kind of he's good in a dome.
Well, John
Breeze.
And that was
John Elway got blown out in three Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So, what are we doing here? I'm not just basing it on the guy who's won the most Super Bowls. I'm basing it on a guy who, won championships, a guy who statistically is one of the best to ever play the game. And I think Elway, maybe Elway's 11, maybe he sneaks in a 10, but I don't even think I'd have him in my top 10 if I really were going to go, kind of not off the top of the dome list.
What, Roger Staubach, Otto Graham.
Nah, see, then I think it's like
Dan Fouts.
Then I think those guys are
getting a little
Brett Favre.
We're getting a little slappy here.
Did you mention Brett Favre? You didn't even mention.
Yeah, I mentioned
Brett Favre's on his list. Lenny Dawson.
Don't forget
Lenny Dawson.
But
Norm Van Brocklin.
But are those
YA
guys?
Y.A. Tittle.
But do those guys now? Those especially some of those older guys where they only threw for like 150 yards.
Yeah.
How do you really
six picks a game?
Guy, the greatest NFL season.
Belichick's top 10 is all guys from like the 30s.
Oh, it is. He loves Burt Jones.
Right.
That was this guy.
The greatest NFL season by a quarterback at that time was 12 touchdowns and three interceptions.
You didn't mention Cam Newton. I'm surprised.
Oh.
No Cam Newton.
True.
Not yet. He's still playing.
Hey, so Fourier's got TV to do. What do you want him to say on the broadcast today?
Okay. Does he get stuff in there?
I did the very first time.
But there's what happened, John?
They got preempted by an update on the president's health.
Yes, stupid.
Okay. So we need a word.
It's got to be just a word.
Okay, a word.
A word. A word.
Mulligan is mine.
Yours is mulligan. John's, okay. John's throwing mulligan out there.
A word.
That's going to be tough.
Boy.
Let's
oh,
see.
Boy.
Just one word.
All you know, so we're going to sit there going, get back. Why don't you text it to me?
No, how about.
No, we're not going to do that.
I'm going to go with asteroid.
Asteroid.
Stop all right.
Well, I just saw it because I saw Neil Tyson DeGrasse, whatever said yeah. to
Neil Tyson DeGrasse.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know what's his last name.
Neil Tyson DeGrasse.
What's
asteroid.
His last name?
I saw Mike Tyson DeGrasse.
What's his name?
Neil DeGrasse Tyson.
Oh, whatever the hell his name is. Said there's going to be an asteroid that might hit.
They
Earth
say that like every couple
before
weeks.
The election. So.
Oh, it is that. That's pretty good.
That's
timing,
what he's
huh?
saying right yeah, before so the November, election.
That's right before the trade deadline. That's
yeah, I'm going with asteroid.
You're going with asteroid.
Asteroid, mulligan.
And squirts.
Oh, God.
Or you can bring it up with Melvin Gordon. I mean, Melvin Gordon's not playing today.
Right.
So those are your three.
I don't like this game at all.
You brought it up.
You might be able to get the hat trick today. We're going to
oh, my God.
Out.
You just say the runs on the air.
No, squirts is fine. He said one word.
If you, squirts. Yeah, if you can pull that off, that's pretty impressive.
That'd be pretty good. Oh, we'll be rolling tape on that.
All right. Okay. I'll work it in.
All right, Fourier. Thank you. We'll talk to you shortly. We are here until 1 o'clock. We'll go around the NFL at 12:30 for all the Week 6 games. And by the way, a full slate of games. No new positive tests, not just for the Patriots, but for any team around the league. So every game that was scheduled for today, there's also a doubleheader tomorrow, mm-hmm. they are all a go. So we will go around the league at 12:30. We'll get our picks at around 12:45, find out how we did last week, and pick three more games today. And again, full list of inactives comes out at 11:30. You can join the show at 617-779-7937. This is NFL Sunday, and it's brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com. By Zooty. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. By Northeast Electrical and by the New England Recovery Center of Westboro.
Oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!